Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader. I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guest for today's show is my inspiring friend, Deborah Oakland. Deborah is the author of an inspiring book titled Change Your Movie, Change Your Life, and she is also the founder of Living in Courage Online, a spiritual oasis for overcoming life's biggest challenges. Today, we will be talking about choosing peace and how this choice can change your life. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Margot. Thanks for having me on the show. I always love having a conversation with you. And peace is a perfect conversation topic today because it's International Day of Peace.
I know. It just, I had felt inspired to ask you to be on the show on this particular day, and I didn't even know why. And then when you mentioned that it was going to be International Day of Peace, and you have a, one of your concepts is all about peace, I thought, well, this is perfect. And as we've talked about before, the world and our individual lives need peace so much.
Yes, they do. Yeah, everybody's in a bit of a upside down, sideways, whichever way right now, just trying to figure out what's going on in the outer world because it's so confusing to people. And I would like to start with a quote that I love. It says, peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. And I love this quote because it's an unknown author, but it really represents what's going on in the world right now. And, you know, we have to think, maybe you think your life is difficult, but you have to remember that challenges strengthen the light inside of us. And we are vibration. We are light. And comparing your problems to others, you might start viewing your life from a different perspective. And these, what I call tests of our courage, are a call to action. And so whatever action you take, well, that's up to you. But staying heart-centered really helps you connect to the best solution.
I love that. Yeah, it's so true. It's, you know, you look around, and I remember someone saying once that if everybody could come to the front of the room, put their problem on a piece of paper, and get rid of it, and everybody else had to come up, though, and pick one of those, they'd be going, I think I'll keep my own.
You know,
exactly. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, it could be so much worse. Maybe it could be
better, but
on the other hand, it could be a lot worse.
And a lot of times it is, you know, in other parts of the world, things, I mean, really, we have nothing to complain about over here right now, you know, I mean, most of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about peace, and, you know, I always hear people say they want to live peacefully in cooperation with each other, and they want, but everybody wants to make the other side to make the first move. And, like, history, you think it would teach us something, like the endless maze of shadows and self-destruction. They will only end when we wake up and start coming together in our communities and choosing peace in all areas of our life in the world. And it should be a number one priority for everyone before any change can occur. And this we'll only witness this as a conscious shift worldwide. This isn't just about us. This is worldwide. So choosing peace is one of the most important things that we can do.
Yeah, I agree. I love your book, as you know, and I have the paperback version. I love that. That's all highlighted, and then I have it on my Kindle as well. And I was rereading the concept. You don't call them chapters. The concept number 6 on peace, in preparation for our conversation today, and I was so glad that having you on the show reminded me to reread the book, you know, on that chapter. And I think one of the things that's really important to know, too, is that people can read these things in any order and reread them in any order. I mean, I highly recommend reading the book all the way through first, the first time, straight through, so they don't miss anything. But each one of your concepts are so powerful. And
oh, thank you.
Good
thank
reminders.
You.
Yeah, well, I love a lot of the quotes that you put in them and the stories and, you know.
Yeah, what I've done is I've written 7 stories to go in one to go in each concept.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got different stories. The one in Peace is about a gang member, which is too long to read today because it's the same story told 2 different ways with the different ending in each one according to your conscious power of choice. And we consciously make a choice as to how we're going to live our life. And in the stories, that's how each one ends in the first one, which is not a positive thing. And the second one is a positive ending because of the power of their choice. And it gives you all these different ways to look at these concepts and the power of your choice. Like there's one about a ballerina dancer. There's one
mm-hmm.
about the gang member. There's one about an artist. One about a boy and his sister and his mom. And their dad left them, and he feels he doesn't deserve love and doesn't know how to be a good partner or a father because he never had that figure in his life. Well,
mm-hmm.
the first concept is actually the only real, true one. I wrote them all in an afternoon. They just flew into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one is a New York City ballet dancer. The first one is the day that I lost my son, and he was killed in a car accident. And it was the first concept of how it could have destroyed Cody and I, our life. It could have destroyed
mm-hmm.
us completely. And the second story is how it brought us closer together, and we grew stronger because of our beliefs and our conscious choices and the way we handled it. So
yeah,
you know,
that is such a powerful one. Oh my gosh.
yeah, it is. It is. But in the first chapter on Peace, it starts out, he's going to make the first move. And Peace is our action hero. That's how I started. Peace is not weak or powerless, and neither are you. Choosing peace taps you directly into your inner power station. Peace is our action hero, a concentrated activity bringing harmony into every space it occupies. We all have a favorite action hero, male or female, who faces threats in unique ways, taking courageous action. They confront fear face to face and never stop until peace prevails. Our action heroes find solutions and translate them into action. And then I go on to say it takes the power of our attention to hold peace in a world less than peaceful, and ours is definitely less than peaceful. Peace is active, and if we wish to have it, we must participate with it. Find the action hero living in you. And we all have that inside of us.
I like also that you're saying an action hero, because it's not just sitting around and expecting everybody else to do it. It's taking a look at how can we add more peace to our life and to the lives of those around us and to the world. And yeah.
Exactly.
And it all starts also with choosing peace. You know, you were talking about conscious choice as the first concept, and it's really important that that one's the first one because it is conscious choices, not just choices, unconscious choices that we all make. Whether we think
exactly.
we're making choices or not, you know, we're still making
mm-hmm.
choices. And to bring light to it and to bring your consciousness to it and say, I love what you said, that you can say to yourself when you're in a situation that's not really peaceful and you want to feel peaceful, I choose peace. I choose peace. And the day that I was rereading that, I was feeling I needed some peace, and I started saying that to myself. And it was amazing how differently I felt. Yeah.
And if you're in a conversation with someone, like we all have been and we all will continue to be in, where someone is being discordant, you just chant that quietly in your mind, and it changes the frequency. And they basically end up walking away because the energy has shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, because we are energy. And we were talking about the previous chapter, concentrated illumination, which is concentrated illumination is focused energy infused with inspired light. When you combine your thought, feeling, and action in a conscious, deliberate way, it puts you in this place of authority, because energy is active and you can direct it any way you choose. And, you know, through concentrated illumination, the energy infused with light guides us perfectly. You know, the power of living in light and love is never angry, bitter, vengeful, or controlling. You know, this is the power that's loving, peaceful, creative, balanced. And if you find that you've fallen out of balance, harmony with certain areas of your life, just choose peace. You know, choose peace.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's all you have to really do is just completely surrender to peace.
Yeah.
And other people will feel it in you and reach out to you and know that you understand that the power of this peace is connected to our energy, because how we direct our energy affects everyone everywhere. You know, creating conflict takes us from peace backwards across the bridge to pain, discord, and anger. And over time, the fallout, it can keep reappearing, manifesting on a larger scale, because it becomes even more destructive. So when conflict or pain or anything that's not peace shows up, even from old unresolved pain, you know, just peace is diluted. So you don't want to dilute your peace. You want to hold on to uninterrupted peace. Individually and collectively, we need to do that. You know, if we did, our world as we know it could shift. You know, that's a long way from happening at this point. But each one of us that choose peace, we shift the frequency, even in our own little way. People say, well, I'm just one person. I can't really do anything. Well, you can. Choose peace.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dudley just handed me a post that says you can't destroy energy. It changes form but remains energy. And, yeah.
Exactly.
But our energy is radiated out from us, and people around us, animals around us, everyone around us feels it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
animals. They live on, I mean, they are energy, you know. They're sometimes a little more savvy than we are. I'm sure a lot of people on this listening agree. I know my mother would and my sisters would. But animals are such powerful aspects of energy.
Yeah.
And they're love, you know. They just trust us. Not all of them. I mean,
they're pure love.
But,
yeah.
As far as being a peace commanding presence, there's another advantage to it. Is we no longer feel the need to react to triggers that fire us up and cause conflict, because there's always going to be challenges, because if we don't have them, without them, there's no growth or expansion. And that's what people forget. They just, well, I just want to be peaceful and happy all the time. Well, that's great. But if there is no conflict, we don't grow. We don't expand. The world doesn't grow. It doesn't expand.
Yeah. That's such a good point. And I love that part of your chapter as well. I think it was in that chapter, maybe in the other one, because I was reading that one, and then I got inspired to reread Concentrated Illumination, but about how I derailed my own train of thought. I love it.
Oh, that's okay.
No, yeah, but about how we perceive others and how we can take time to look at how we're processing that and how we're responding. Okay, responding, that was the point, versus
reacting. Versus
that
responding
is so huge. Talk about that a little bit, please, because I think that I see so many people who don't seem to understand that there's even a difference in the two words, reacting and responding, and how differently they feel as well.
Well, you know, when you come upon a situation that is less than pleasant, do you find yourself reacting or responding to people and situations? Are you portraying love or fear? What's your overall feeling when you're in this situation? And what is so important is, you know, reacting, responding, they're birds of a different feather. So reacting gives us no time. Responding.
Oh, my gosh. Deborah dropped. She's going to have to call back in. So in the meantime, I'd just like to say that this book and Deborah's chapter on peace has really made a huge difference in my life, and I know that it can make a big difference in the lives of everyone else who is reading the book and being reminded of all these principles in the book. So Concentrated Illumination and Purity and Love and Wisdom and Conscious Choice, Peace, and then, of course, Rhythm. And Deborah is just coming back on. There you are.
I'm sorry. You know what happened? I got a spam call, and I hit the thing, and I hit instead of get rid of them. I'm sorry. Okay, so back where I was.
While you were off, I just talked a little bit about how much I love your book and about the different concepts in it being conscious choice, wisdom, love, purity, concentrated illumination, peace, and rhythm, and how they all work together. So we were talking about responding, though. That's where we were, I think.
Yes. Yeah, where reacting gives us no time, and responding gives us time to peacefully choose a non-reactive kind of direction. And peace is always the best option. But if you feel like reacting, ask yourself some questions. What's triggering this reaction inside of me?
Mm-hmm.
You've always heard that word, what you resist persists. And the more we fight against something or someone, the slower we move forward towards a peaceful resolution. So, you know, to be responsible for reactions, your actions, is really important. And if you create a difficulty with someone, find a workable situation that targets peace and brings, you know, mutual harmony to the table. And I always recommend, if you are going to respond, give yourself like 3 days if it's a really bad situation. That way everybody can cool their jets. It gives all the parties involved time to gain a new level of perspective. And then you can get a much better outcome, because if you go in there with fists flying and you're just screaming and yelling and being horrific, it's not going to end well.
Right.
So, you know, choosing peace, as we talk about, it really helps you stay calm. It shifts the energy, and they may actually just kind of walk away. But I know we're not on very long today, but before we go, I want to do a tiny little exercise in stillness that I want to just share with people so they can maybe do it at home. Because, you know, when you are peaceful, you find people that come around you and they ask, how do you stay so peaceful? How do you stay so calm? I feel sometimes mm-hmm. like the calm in a storm, so does Cody. and we do stay peaceful. We've chosen to. We consciously choose peace. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean we're not irritated with things or things don't bother us, especially in the outer world, but we do choose peace and take it from there. How are we going to react or respond? And what are we going to place our attention on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I think that's a good idea.
Mm. Okay, so do you want to do this little exercise? It's super short.
I do. We've got 9 minutes left, so, you know, I think we have enough time, and then we can still talk more after.
Well, I'm just going to have to kind of jot a note down about this. But the best way to experience, like, this state of awareness is to stop all activity and imagine mm-hmm. yourself simply and purely as thought. You become the watcher. You can sit or lie comfortably in just complete stillness, quiet. Mm-hmm. And we don't get enough of that these days. So sit
True.
And lie comfortably in stillness. No cell phones, no computers, nothing. Allow yourself to feel weightless. Now, even if you do this waking up in the morning in bed, feel weightless.
Mm-hmm.
And pretend for a few minutes you have no body. It lets the thoughts flow in and out until the noises around you fade into the background. And then consciously begin directing your thoughts for a few minutes in a profound and powerful way. Because your thoughts have no limitation. So enjoy feeling the feeling of freedom as you define the details. And there's no one there that can say that's not right. No one can criticize it. It's your own thoughts. It's your own area where only you can be and create. And allow your imagination to bring you all you desire into the panoramic movie screen of your life, because my book is all about the movie, and we are living movies,
mm-hmm.
collectively
mm-hmm.
and individually. So just bring all your desires into this movie screen of your life. And if present circumstances make it seem as if your dreams and desires could never be a reality in your life, just give yourself permission to play along and have fun with the experience. And then say, I give myself permission to believe I am worthy. I allow myself to believe anything is possible. So then imagine anything, no matter how crazy it seems,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the situation is, because no one knows what you're visualizing. You can't be judged.
Right.
This is you, your time. Just
right.
So dare to visualize your ideal life and use all your senses. Make it as real as you can. You know, use every sense you have, hear, taste, smell, touch, whatever it is. See it. And then arrange your vision the way you want to see it in your heart, in your mind. And then, you know, pick one thing to concentrate on, feeling, even if it feels like a fantasy. Allow yourself to sink into it. And if you find all these random thoughts coming in, trying to interrupt your fun, just let them pass and refocus. And be in this space for as long as you like. And when you reach a point of simply being with this one desire upon
mm-hmm.
which you focus all your attention, express gratitude, and then get up and go about your day.
I
and
love
practice
that.
This.
I
practice,
love that.
Practice.
Yeah, I love that. And I read that in the book, and now I've got it in this conversation, too. It's so true. I mean,
and, you know, Stephen Covey, as we just talked about before this
mm-hmm.
call, we've read his books. He says all things are created twice. There's
mm-hmm.
a mental or first creation, a physical or second creation to all things. The physical creation follows the mental, just as building follows a blueprint. If you don't make a conscious effort to visualize who you are and what you want in life, then you empower other people and circumstances to shape you and your life by default.
Wow. What a great reminder for all of us.
So that is a powerful little practice, and it's in my book on page 143. And it's a good practice to get into even before you make a phone call. Maybe
right.
it's a phone call you don't want to make. You
uh-huh.
stop and you see how that phone call is going to, you visualize it in your mind and you see the outcome that you want.
Uh-huh.
And you might be surprised at what happens on the other end of the line. If you decide what is going to happen and you are firm, this is going to be what happens when I call. And you never know. It can't hurt,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well,
it can't
hurt. I found that all to be really, really true, too. You know, you have to – I love what Stephen Covey said and what you read about that. It's so true. We have to see it first. I mean, you wouldn't build a house, for example, without having blueprints, and so that people
yeah.
know where they're going to put the things and how long the boards need to be and whether the things are going to fit in the kitchen, for example.
mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, so you have
yeah.
to visualize it first and then start using your imagination. And like you said, think about what do you see? What do you hear? How does it feel? What is it like? What would you love it to be like? You know,
exactly.
let yourself really, really imagine it as you want it to be. Yeah.
That's where trusting your inner guidance comes in to assist you, because on a
mm-hmm.
deep soul communication, you know, like this deep soul communication, which this is, gives us the ability
mm-hmm.
to transfer thought into different forms of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to forget that we're more than our bodies, that we are energy. We're this
mm-hmm.
immense, expansive, beautiful soul, and we are here to experience all the varied aspects of life by using our bodies within in which to navigate our life.
Right.
So there's possibility in anything and everything. You know, you don't like how your life's working out, ask yourself some questions. Are you taking command? You know, do you need to revise the script or how you're looking through the camera lens or re-audition people that are coming into your life, build a new set, kick the
mm-hmm.
negative critics off the set, you know, all these things.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah.
I just love how you have it be a movie and think about, you know, how you would cast it. Where's the location? What kind of lighting? What kind of sound? What kind of music? Is
mm-hmm.
there going to be nature in it? What is it going to be like? Is it going to be peaceful?
Exactly. I write
yeah.
in one section, unless we hold onto uninterrupted peace individually and collectively, our world
mm-hmm.
as we know it could end up as another movie in the future about a civilization that did not choose peace over discord. The
mm-hmm.
title, The Earth That Could Have Been Destroyed by Sheeple People. In this movie, they put sheep heads on our bodies to illustrate how willing we followed those who were out to hurt us like cattle. You know? So
yeah.
choose peace.
Choose peace.
Choose
I
peace.
Choose peace. I choose peace.
Yeah.
Let's all choose peace. We've got just a little over a minute left. So what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Oh, well, just realize that there seems to be a sense of uneasiness in people, no matter who they are, where they live. Until we learn to hold this vision of love for ourselves and others, there's always going to be dark clouds. So peace, again, comes into the equation. It is International Day of Peace, so embrace it. And choose peace for yourself.
Oh, yeah, choose peace for yourself. And when you choose peace for yourself, you're also choosing it for others. And that
mm-hmm.
is a beautiful thing. So, you know, I hope everyone goes to Amazon and buys your book in both versions. Because if they read it, we are going to have more peace in the world. We're going to have more love. We're going to have more people making conscious choices. And
yes,
yeah.
we are. And they can find me at Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Oakland.com.
And they can
and
also sign
there,
up for
I'm
your
there.
Monthly newsletters there, too.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I only put them out once a month.
Right. I love that
yeah.
about it. Oh, Deborah, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the ways that you love your music. I really, really, really appreciate having you in my life, in our lives, and in our world.
Back at you, Margo. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, live your music.